brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
If the whole team is successful, we have a chance to be special. You have a chance to be special yourself.
Game plan to stop Juju on Friday.
Yeah, go ahead and divulge secrets to Hannah right now, App. That's...
We're excited to be in it. We go to Tokyo to play football.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah there. It is time for the state semifinals. Other states around the country are having their championship games this weekend. We are in the semifinals in our state. I have my brackets.
I did not bring my show and tell brackets.
I brought my show and tell brackets. I just can't read my handwriting, so it might be a bit of an issue as we go. But this one's it's going to be a fun show. Our game of the week, Friday. Carrollton and Buford, right-hand side of the bracket in Class 6A. Anticipated matchup across the board. Two nationally ranked teams, great talent across the board. And also we get to spend some time with Tucker Pruitt down in Fitzgerald. They had a big win.
So two coaches that are very familiar with championship wins, championship runs. We have a lot of experience in that on the podcast today.
Absolutely true. So it's Class A D1 in Fitzgerald and 6A in Buford. You want to go over what happened last time out in the quarterfinals to get us to the finals four?
Yes. So two number one teams fell in the quarters. North Cobb Christian beat Savannah Christian.
That was big.
To reach its first ever semifinal game in school history. Ring the upset alarms on that one. Calhoun upset Peach County, which is a big deal, but not as big as North Cobb Christian winning. They are no stranger to the big games, though. This will not be their first time. Other first-timers, Toombs County Northeast in Single-A Division One, and Hebron Christian in the Private Division. So I always love the newcomers.
So what you're saying is in AAA, we now have Stevenson playing Stevenson.
Yes.
I was waiting for you to say that. Clay Stevenson, the head coach of Calhoun, playing Stevenson on the right-hand side of the bracket in AAA. Jefferson and LaGrange. LaGrange, great win for them on the road. They were in control early, hitting on the road. So team 20 goes to team number one. LaGrange and Jefferson, Calhoun and Stevenson in AAA. And let's see. So who else did you mention? You mentioned North Cobb Christian and Hebron Christian. Two stories in the top half of the bracket on the private side. So North Cobb Christian, they were a 29-point underdog, I think.
Wow.
And they go down to the coast to beat Savannah Christian 30-27. So team 8 goes to team 5, Prince Avenue. Prince Avenue beat Calvary Day. I think both teams just scored again. And so 100 points in that one. PAC scored 61. Hebron Christian, we had Jonathan Guest on the postgame show. They were in control over Aquinas. And then they go to Fellowship. So it is Decula to Roswell on the private side of things.
In 5A, Coffee ended Sequoia's.
They just scored again, by the way.
Coffee ended Sequoia's Cinderella season, winning 72-48, and their running back set a state record.
Yep, Tank Wood get 605 yards and 7 touchdowns. So he had a bit of a day. And
just a little bit.
I think both of those teams just scored again. 120 points total, and Coffee scoring 72 of those. Our game of the week was Hughes 28-12 win over Thomas County Central. So Coffee on the road again. They go to Hughes. Lee County, with their win over Sprayberry, they were in control. They won 64-0. They go to Milton to take on Milton. So that's Region 2 up top taking on Region 3 and Region 7 in 5A across the board. Where do you want to go next?
Well, to preview our guests, let's talk about our game of the week, Carrollton at Buford.
Yeah.
This is a game between two of the top two teams in the state.
Crazy.
Across any classification, really.
No doubt.
On national polls and just ranked everywhere. This is pretty much going to be like a state championship.
Yeah, game. Well, I mean, you mentioned Toombs County, and that's another one, because we catch up with Tucker Pruitt at Fitzgerald. Left-hand side of the bracket is Tucker and Fitzgerald going to Northeast Macon. Northeast Macon knocks off the number one team in the rankings. Remember, it's power rankings in AD1. Knocking off Fannin County. Nick Woodford, like I said, I swear, we've been covering him forever. And so now that he's healthy, he's going to be a problem. Fitzgerald on the road. Toombs County and Dublin. You mentioned 1 and 2. Toombs County and Dublin also 1 and 2 in the polls. Not the rankings and the power rankings, but Toombs County and Dublin. Team 6 goes to Team 2 of the Shamrock Bowl to take them on as well. But yeah, Carrollton and Buford is going to be ridiculous on our air on Friday night.
And there is a small question mark. I don't know how big of a question is.
No, it's a big question.
is quarterback Juju Lewis going to play?
He
got hurt in the second quarter
right.
of the quarterfinal game. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play. Coach App thinks he's going to play.
Yeah, tease.
So, I don't know.
No, and we'll find out. And that's the thing, is that you have to, and that's a question that I asked Coach App when we catch up with him in a bit. If it's not Juju Lewis, then you've got to prepare for more than one quarterback. And Carrollton isn't going to tell you one thing or another. So you have to prepare for two individuals who probably have two separate skill sets. And so I think it's going to be, or at least offshoots of the same skill set. So it's that much more studying that you have to do in a final exam when it's these two top teams that are chasing after a chance to play for a state championship.
And if Coach App has it his way, this could be Juju's last high school football game.
True.
He was a sophomore last year.
Right.
He's a senior this year.
Well, he's like, yep, I'm grading up.
I'm
grading up. I'm leaving school a year early. Everything's fine. And apparently on Wednesday, we will find out if the fax to Boulder is in fact going to happen.
John?
Yes.
Now, Juju Lewis is the top high school quarterback recruit in the country. Is that right?
Check.
And he's committed to
Colorado
for Deion Sanders.
Yes.
If for some reason he were so injured that he can't play again, could he be a senior again? And
no, you can't redshirt senior as a high school senior. When you're done, you're done.
So he went from sophomore to senior.
Correct.
And that's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So it's a big deal that he's hurt.
Yes, this is a big deal. When it happened, Carrollton was in control. They beat Hillgrove by 40. But there are things at play here in the new universe that is.
Was it just a little tweak and they overplayed it?
Don't know.
To kind of get in the minds of Buford. Were they thinking ahead?
Don't know.
I don't know either.
See, that's the question. But in this new universe, you may have an athlete, not necessarily this time around, but you may have an athlete someplace, somewhere, who will be the Christopher Columbus of the new world of high school recruiting and basically sit there and say, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman, and not play in a championship game and just go straight to get ready for college. I mean, that moment, I'm sure, is coming sooner than we are ready for or anticipating. Oh, the other two.
I think it's already here, John.
Yeah, well, the other championships, by the way. Double A, Burke is going to Rockmart. Burke beat Thompson 49-42. They're going to play Rockmart. Both teams put up 49. Appling County is going to go to Carver-Columbus to play in the Western Frontier. Quad A Creekside is going to go to Marist. BT is going to go to North Oconee. And in Class A Division II, Irwin County beat Tryon. Irwin's going to go to Bowdoin. And Brooks County's going to go to Manchester. So Manchester continues to win as well. That leaves us with two brackets.
Yes, it does. And we will get to those. Mm-hmm. After the guests. So Coach App to come, but first we are going to head down to Fitzgerald for the Purple Hurricane and catch up with a friend of the show, Head Coach Tucker Pruitt. Hey Coach, thanks for joining us on our semifinal podcast.
Hey, good to see y'all. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you this time of year. You beat Worth County two times this season, final score of 42-38 the second time, to advance to the semis. What is it like winning such a big game on the road like that?
Oh, well, it was awesome. It was a crazy game from start to finish. It was up and down and back and forth, and a really good football team to watch, a really good game to watch if you didn't really have a team to pull for. We fell down 17 points there in the second half with about 2 minutes left to go in the third quarter, and it didn't seem real bright at the time, to be honest with you, but our kids kept playing, and some good things happened down the stretch. We were able to string together a couple stops and get out of there with a victory against a really good football team there in Worth County. We got a lot of respect for Coach Hammond and his staff and his team. Those kids competed with class and got a lot better throughout the year, and they had a heck of a team. It was one of those games you hate that somebody's got to go home. But we got a lot of respect for them, and they had a great team and a great season. And we're just really thankful to still be playing and still be working and have an opportunity to keep our family together for another week.
When you're down 17 like that, what's the conversation like on the sidelines to make sure that they keep their head in the game and that everything is what it's supposed to be, and that if you just keep your nose to the grindstone, everything's going to be happening? What were the conversations like?
just play the next play, you know, play the next play. We don't have a play on the sheet that can score 17 points. So we're going to have to string together, you know, a little bit of run. But I'm going to tell you, football is a game of momentum. And I told the guys at halftime, you know, we're not as far off as you think. You know, we were only down 7, but it felt like their offense was going up and down the field on us. And it felt like that because they pretty much were. But, you know, I just told them, we're not as far off as you think you are. We just hadn't got our break yet. We hadn't caught a break, but it's coming, you know, so just keep believing. And then when we went down 17, we were able to score. And we were down 10, and then we got that break. We got a tip pass. We rushed a quarterback and tipped a ball that we got intercepted, and then we were able to score again, and then we got a stop, and we scored again and got a stop and ran the clock out. And so better late than never, but we finally got our break, and we got some momentum, and it was kind of on from there.
You were in the semifinals last year, but you've been in the finals 3 of the past 5 seasons, winning a state title. What is it like to maintain excellence year after year, even when you're graduating all kind of players?
Yeah, it's really difficult. Last year, we graduated the winningest class to ever come through Fitzgerald High School. They played in every game that was played other than the state championship game last year. They were state runner-up, state champ, state runner-up, and then lost in the semis to Pierce, who was a state champ. And so we knew we had a lot of holes to fill. And to be honest with you, I don't think there's many people, including myself, that thought we would be still here right now. So it's just a joy and a blessing. And you know, we do have some tradition here, and we have some standards, and it's hard to maintain that. But I think we just take it one day at a time and continue to try to grow and get better each week. And, you know, our kids – you know, our kids that are seniors now watch the classes before do this. And our kids are in there lifting weights right now. But whenever I talk to them here in a minute, I'm going to tell them, I hope you young kids were watching the old kids last Friday when we went down 17 points and nobody batted an eye and we came back. And I hope that you're taking note because your time's coming. And when it comes, hopefully they can act the same way that these kids acted and the ones before then. And we'll just continue to try to take it one day at a time and be the best team we can be.
Reclassification took you down to Class A Division One, and of course they put you in Region One D1, which has Worth, Thomasville, you guys, Jeff Davis, an up-and-coming Bacon County team, Brantley County with a new head coach in Coach Shores, and Berrien with what they've been able to accomplish in fits and starts. Yeah, so it was real easy for you to drop into Region One D1, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a piece of cake. And the non-region, too, with Irwin and Brooks and Crisp and Applin, you know. So we're definitely tested. There's been some bumps in the road for sure, but we've knocked heads with some pretty good teams over the course of this year. I know I think 5 of the 10 teams we played in the regular season were still playing in the Elite Eight. And so I do think we're battle-tested. We've been in some tough spots. And one good thing about playing those good people every week is they show you what your weaknesses are. And so that's been helpful as well, even though we've dropped 3 games along the way. You know, when you play good people, you kind of find out where you're not stacking up. And so we've been able to go back to work and focus on those areas. And I think overall that's helped us to improve.
Are you home this Friday, Coach?
We are not. We're actually the 3rd seed from our region. So we were fortunate to have 2 home games, which is 2 more than we would have gotten last year.
Yeah.
And we'll be at Macon this week. But we're excited to be in it. We'd go to Tokyo to play football if we needed to.
Okay, so what's the road tradition? What's the plan? What do you pack in the truck? How do you get the team hyped up for a road trip?
Well, we normally treat it the same way. It's only about a 2-hour drive, so we'll go through our normal deal. We'll lift weights, and we'll have our stretch, and then we'll have our special teams meetings and our O&D walkthroughs, and then we'll probably hop on the bus and find somewhere to stop to get them out to stretch and eat some pregame meal and get there about 5:30, get dressed and go play. We're not real big on fancy warm-ups and rituals. We kind of just get there and get our stuff on and go play.
Is there a Buc-ee's in between y'all and
actually, there might be.
That's a great place to
see where Hannah's priorities are, Tucker. Is there a Buc-ee's?
I'm not sure about Buc-ee's. My 70 kids, I'd have trouble getting them all back on the bus.
Yeah, you would.
That's a good idea. I just don't know if that's a good fit for these knuckleheads I got.
With Northeast Macon, I swear we've been covering their running back ever since he's been playing there ever since he was like 10 years old. It feels like, I mean, he's gotten reps as a freshman and ever since. Obviously, I know that a lot of your time is focused on him in the backfield as a part of your prep, but what's study hall been like getting ready for Northeast, knowing they've got a talented running back and a stout defense?
Yeah, I've been looking at film all weekend long, and I haven't liked anything I've seen. You know, we're very familiar with Northeast. We've played them each of the last two seasons in the regular season as a non-region opponent, and we were able to escape with a one-point win the first time, and then they beat us last year. And so we're really familiar with the running back, Nick Woodford, and what a great player he is. He led the entire state of Georgia in rushing his sophomore year, tore his ACL at the end of last year, and wasn't there for the playoff run, but he's back and he's healthy. And he's not the only one they got. You know, the quarterback's really scary too. He can throw and run. And then on defense, their front seven is just outstanding. I mean, they're big, they're strong, they're physical. And all the tapes I'm watching, nobody's running the football on them. And we're pretty much a run the ball football team. And so that's a little bit scary. You know, even Dublin, who's 13-0 and scoring 50 and 60 on everybody, only scored 17 points on them. So they're in the Final Four for a good reason. They got a great team, a bunch of good senior leadership and outstanding players. Coach Wiggins does a great job coaching them. Me and him actually played against each other back when I was playing at Fitzgerald and he was playing at Northeast Macon in the playoffs. And so we got a lot of respect for them. They do an outstanding job, and hopefully we can hang in the game and have some breaks go our way.
Last question from me, Coach, and this is pretty much our second to last, or maybe our last time we get to ask this. Give a player on your team a shout out for our Make That Kid an Offer segment. Who deserves one?
Well, last week, our quarterback, Victor Copeland, had, I think, 21 carries for 417 yards and three touchdowns. And he got tackled on the one-yard line twice, and somebody else got his touchdown. So I would definitely say him, but I don't think I'm going to have to make much of a case for him. I think the film and the 22 miles per hour that he hit on the catapult last week are going to be just enough for him. But I would make a shout out for two kids. Quincy DeBerry is an undersized tight end defensive lineman that plays offense and defense and never comes off the field. He's a throwback player, really high football IQ. And then we've got a junior named Tyson King, who's the same way. He's an outside linebacker and kind of a fullback blocking back who does an outstanding job, does a lot of our dirty work. Again, high football IQ. He gets a set on defense and gets everybody the call, and a good communicator and a good leader. And all three of those kids have been really big for us.
Well, as always, Tucker, it's great to see you, my friend, and it's great to have these conversations. Regardless of the time of year it is, it just so happens that Team 12 is going to head to Team 8 here in the semifinals, left-hand side of the bracket, Class 8 D1. Great to see you, my friend. Say hi to your mom and dad for us all up here at GPB. We'll catch up with you soon. Great to see you.
I'll do it. Thank y'all.
One coach down, one to go, and we go to the highest classification for the game of the week in this or any other state in the union, as a matter of fact. Football Fridays in Georgia, semifinal, 6A, right-hand side of the bracket. It is Carrollton and Buford, and we go to Buford to catch up with Wolves head coach Brian Apple.
Hey, Coach App, thanks for joining us again on the podcast. Great to see you.
Good to see you guys, too. I feel like I'm part of the team now.
You are.
You are. You are, and that's a good thing when you get to see us all through November and December.
See, Kevin's got to get him a hat. That way he's official. Get one of those Football Fridays in Georgia GPB hats that he can wander around with.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you've gotten through the playoffs unscathed, averaging 47 points on offense, only allowing 7.5 points on defense. This last one, 43-7 win over North Gwinnett. What have these playoffs been like for you? How were you able to win that big game last Friday?
I mean, they've been good. I mean, other than I would say, you know, about a quarter last week and a half a quarter in the first week, I felt like we played really solid. You know, obviously they're kids and they're going to make mistakes, and everybody thinks, you know, every game up until like the last game or two is supposed to be like a cakewalk, and you're supposed to be up 30-0 at halftime, get a running clock type of thing. I'm tired of hearing that stuff all the time. Like, it's not the way of the world nowadays. It's not the way of football. I mean, you watch any Saturday this fall in colleges, and parity is real, and it's everywhere now. So, I mean, it's hard to keep fighting and stay at this spot that we're trying to be at. So, you know, but it's the kids have done great. They have a workmanship like type attitude every day at practice, and they're trying to learn, and they're taking pride in doing the little things exactly right. And I think that's why showing up as we go throughout games, we start playing better and better, and we've had a chance to improve most of the year as well.
We had Tucker Pruitt on from Fitzgerald as the guest before you, and we asked him about how difficult it is to sustain excellence, because if I remember correctly, I think his team over the last 4 years coming into this year was 50-8. And they're constantly semifinals, playing in championship games. I think it was one championship, one final, two semifinals. How difficult is it for Buford to sustain the excellence, knowing the pedigree coming in, knowing the history that has been accomplished? How difficult is it to sustain what you guys have been able to build?
Oh, it's a lot more difficult than people believe. I mean, everybody thinks you're just going, y'all be fine, y'all be there, y'all, you know, roll over to the next person you see. And I'm like, no, because everybody that you're playing against wants you. And it's a Super Bowl for them, and they're giving you your best effort. And like, we like it that way. But in the end, you know, trying to deal with the landscape of kids nowadays, and you know, they're just like anybody else. They're looking at every social media post, every past score. See, they beat such and such by this much, and we beat such and such by this much, so we should beat them. And I'm like, it don't work that way.
The transitive property of wins.
Oh, my goodness. I'm tired of hearing that stuff. You know what I mean? And human nature, you're going to look at it a little bit and try to see, but you know for a fact that, you know, every game is different. But, you know, sometimes we got to tell a kid that the team's really good, and they don't even want to watch film that week. Like, oh, coach, they lost to such. And it's a battle. And then a lot of them, you know, a lot of people, not just kids, everybody, you know, community-wise, like, they see all the accolades and all the success, you know, they just think it's natural and it's just going to happen because of who we are. And I'm like, no, you got to go to work every day to keep this thing the way you want to keep it. So it's kind of, you know, tough at times to convince people you still got to work and you still got to show up ready to do things in a special way to stay at this level.
Their homework could be to watch college ball on Saturdays. I mean, it has been completely unpredictable and so
except
wild.
In Tallahassee for me, but thank you for bringing that up.
Wink, wink, John.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the reminder that 2-10 season at my alma mater. Thank you.
Mine's done too.
Yeah.
But we see all the trophies behind you, and you have a sign that says this team behind you. Is that just that the current team's trophies? What is the team? What does the team mean?
I would say, I mean, whether I'm talking to a kid or an administrator or a parent or anyone, that's, I put that up. I think I can't remember which book I got it out of, but it's Bo Schembechler. He had it up in his office, and that was one thing that stuck with me when I first, you know, started thinking about, you know, hopefully becoming a head coach one day, that, you know, when people want to come and complain and talk about their situation and how it's unfair for them and how I should help them and how I should do this, I just can point back there and say, you know, that's the most important thing in my book. You know, how is this helping the team? How is this hurting the team? Because if it ain't helping the team, I'm not really concerned with it. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of thought, you know, a lot of time in my thought process on it. So that's one. And then the other one above is that you are a Buford football player. Like, everybody's got, you know, 707 squads and what school I'm going to and all this stuff. And I always just remember, you're a Buford football player. You don't play a certain position. You don't play for, you know, that team yet type deal. Like, you play here and you do what the team needs you to do versus what you want to do to make us successful. Because if the whole team is successful, we have a chance to be special, and you have a chance to be special yourself.
What have you learned about yourself as a coach, and what have the staff learned about themselves as coaches getting the team to this point where you're 12-1 this year, you were 11-2 last year, 11-1, 14-1, 13-1, 14-1. That's the pedigree that you have, and I guess the expectations from the outside that are attached. What have you learned about yourself as a coach this season?
I just learned we can still reinvent ourselves and do good things, you know, because for a long time, you look at successful programs, and, you know, we talk about the Steelers all the time. They're sustained success over all the years. And, you know, Alabama, you know, we talk about, you know, a lot of different, you know, places. And usually there are some people that are at the helm or in charge somewhere in that building that have been there for a long time, whether it's an owner, a AD, a coach, you know, things like that. But we try as hard as we can to, you know, continue that's success, but also, you know, bring a new flavor every once in a while. Like, we did a lot of things this summer that we have never done. And I believe that is, you know, giving us a chance to continue to grow throughout the year, like just more, you know, team building, you know, trying to get the kids and the coaches close and hang out more and just have fun more and love each other more. And I think that's helped us out, you know, a lot down the stretch. We just continue to find a way to get better each and every day, really. I mean, they're finding ways to do that. And usually this time of year, whether you're an adult, you know, or a kid, you kind of get tired of looking at each other every once in a while. I tell them all the time, like, you know, the teams that can kind of, you know, love each other the longest and hang out with each other the longest without bickering and you know, getting into, you know, verbal, you know, sparring matches and all that type of stuff, just can, you know, stand each other the longest are usually the ones that have a chance at the end and find a way to finish the deal.
Yeah, and that comes with team bonding and all of that. That is so, so important when it comes to high-level football. Well, you host Carrollton for the GPB Football Friday in Georgia Game of the Week, and your defense is amazing. 10 seniors committed to D1 schools, 3 uncommitted juniors who are also top 300 national prospects, most play on defense. So what is going to be the game plan to stop Juju on Friday?
Yeah, go ahead and divulge secrets to Hannah right now, app. That's it.
What are the X's and O's? No, I'm kidding. But what have you guys talked about stopping him?
I mean, contrary to popular belief, everybody believes we look at film weeks ahead of time. And I know some people do. I just can't do that. I never have been able to. I start the morning of, you know, after a game, and I start looking at it, and I know – you know, we played Carrollton before in the past, so obviously we got a little bit of familiarity with that program, and I know what Coach King is about, and I know how he runs his ship. So I know they're very disciplined. They're great on offense, defense, and the special teams. So we got our hands full on that end. You know, and it's I mean, I know he quarterback's a great player, but it ain't just about him. It's they're freakish athletic, you know, everywhere. You know what I mean? The receivers, the running backs, the O-line plays well together, you know what I mean? So they're you know, deep as a team could be, you know, in the state. So it's not just about him. He's all obviously like the point guard. He distributes everything, gets it going, but it ain't really, you know, completely about him. If you just worry about him, somebody mm-hmm. it's about 9 others that can beat you out there. So they're a great, great team, and it's going to be fun to get a chance to compete with them.
He was injured in the second quarter of the game against Hillgrove, didn't finish it. That creates an added issue for you as a staff having to prepare for more than one individual. How difficult is it knowing you can take Juju and put that to the side? You know the start, you know the point guard, you know what the point guard is capable of. But then when you have the point guard come in off the bench and you don't have a whole lot of book on him, may not have a whole lot of tape on him, how much of an added challenge and how much added homework is it to have to prepare for more than one individual at point guard?
I mean, not a big deal. I'm preparing for him to play. Yeah, that's the number one. That's the number one game plan. And but I know Coach King, me, I'm go way back, and he's a great coach, and he coaches his kids like we coach our kids. They coach them a certain way. So I believe the next guy's gonna be just as prepared as Julian would. You know what I mean? It's a process of a program doing it the right way to have chances to win games late in the season. It's not about, you know, I mean, obviously nowadays it's about, you know, stars and about certain kids. And I'm the first to say, you know, I mean, you got to have good players to you know, be a good program. I'm not, you know, discounting that at all. But, you know, they've got a track record and we've got a track record of when you get kids, you know, banged up late in the season, you got a kid that's ready because you've been preparing them all year long and they can make special plays as well late in the season.
Last question for me, Coach. This will be the last game in Tom Ryan Stadium, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the plan. Yeah.
Is that bittersweet? How do you feel about that with the new stadium being built for next season?
It is. It's bittersweet. I mean, you know, ever since I've been 21 years, and obviously the stadium, Tom Ryan, is older than that, but that's all I remember. That's all I can remember about, you know, Buford football is those nights right down the hill on the, you know, walk across the track and you're in the Wolves Den and you're, you know, having fun in that stadium. And then for, you know, we knew all year long it was going to come to this night. You just, you know, first couple of rounds, you got to win to get a chance. But regardless of, you know, the outcome, we know this is the last one. We're just challenging our kids to leave it better than they found it and try to find a way to put a, you know, put a good game on film and a, you know, a good outing out there the last chance we get to roll in that stadium.
So when you've looked at the blueprints of the new stadium, what were you looking forward to the most? And did you get to add anything to the blueprints? Is it, you know,
Of course he did.
I want a king fridge that's got an ice cream machine. No, seriously, when you looked at the blueprints, when you looked at that new stadium and what it's going to anticipate, what was running through your mind?
I mean, I was just in awe, honestly. It's going to be probably one of the best, you know, stadiums in the nation. I didn't really worry about, you know, the bells and whistles and stuff. I was worried about, you know, the layout of it, how, you know, does it make sense as far as, is there, you know, water on the sideline? Is there enough room in the locker room? Is there, you know, access to training rooms in the right way? And I knew the scoreboard was going to be unreal. I knew, you know, the suites and all that stuff and the seats and the, you know, the added amenities to it were going to be unreal, because that's how Buford does it. We do it in a special way for all of our buildings like that. And I knew this was going to be, you know, one of the better ones in the end. But, you know, I just took it all in and had some suggestions about, you know, certain things on the sideline and you know, where plugins were for our headsets and things like that. But, you know, I knew they were going to take care of us and do it really nice. So I wasn't really worried about all that.
Well, the team's earned it and deserved it. We can't wait to see it unveiled next year. Coach Abb, thanks so much for the time. We're excited for another amazing game on Friday.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you guys having me on. Can't wait.
So not only is Buford averaging 47 points a game through the playoffs,
yes,
so is Carrollton. 47 points.
So you mentioned the defensive average in the interview with App. What's the defensive average for Carrollton? 713 and
have allowed
26. 26 by 3 is 8 2/3.
So Buford is technically doing
26 points.
1.5 points better.
26 to 23. So 1 point better. 26
one
to 23.
Point better.
Yeah, 23 points allowed to 26 points allowed. Yeah. So it's 7 2/3 to 8 2/3, and both teams are averaging how many points offensively? 46?
47.
47. So
it's pretty wild.
Yeah. I'm
pretty crazy numbers. It's going to be an awesome game. We will be back in studio,
mm-hmm,
our last post-game show of the season.
Ooh.
Not our last halftime show.
No,
we have a lot of those.
No, there'll be a lot of halftime shows and a lot of tailgate parties. By the way, Douglas County.
Yes, yeah, so the other 6A game on, mm-hmm, the bracket, we got 6A and 5A.
Yep.
Let's have it, John.
Well, 6A is Douglas County at Grayson. Douglas County beat West Forsyth 20-14. They go to Grayson. Grayson beat Collins Hill 31-14. And once again, remember, in Class A Division II, it is Fitzgerald traveling to Northeast Macon, mm-hmm, and they do power rankings. So it's Team 12 to Team 8. And I don't know, we probably should follow along and see if they do stop at that Buc-ee's.
We should.
North on 75 on their way there, because it's in Warner Robins. So, I mean,
yeah,
it is on the way to the stadium.
I've
so.
Been there. It's a good one.
Oh, I've been there too.
It's a good one.
And then
5A.
And then Toombs County and Dublin is the other one on the right-hand side in AD1. So on the other one in 5A, Coffee goes to Hughes, Lee County goes to Milton, Region 2 up top, and it is Region 3 and Region 7 down below.
I just can't believe it's the semifinals. I looked at the calendar yesterday. I was writing something down, and I was like, December 1st. And I said, it's not December.
Yeah, it's December.
And my husband was like, yes, it's December. And yeah. I said, no, it's not December.
And your husband...
What happened to November?
And your husband, John, looked at you and was like, no, it's December.
Like, I don't know where November went. Truly, it,
quickly.
Poof. Poof.
All right. Well, all right. So this is where we solicit.
I need some advice.
Hannah needs advice. So this means that
management.
All right. So Marky Mark, this is where you come into play here. We need your words of wisdoms having to do with time management and how Hannah cannot have months disappear from her calendar.
Yes.
How can this be? How would you make sure that the Julian calendar does not disappear on Hannah, where she apparently only has 11 months where the rest of us have 12?
Yeah.
Please help her here.
I mean, this seems like an issue of counting first and foremost.
This is what I'm saying.
Well, that is an issue.
I feel like there's something...
That is an issue,
yeah,
we have had on this podcast the past 8 years.
Yes.
Past 8 years.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I mean, I'm... I'm just more concerned with your ability to count, but that's a separate story entirely.
Everyone is. All of our listeners are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry.
Dang, this is terrifying. I'm sorry. But
the fact that Hannah goes, all right, so sound off. 9, 10, 12, 11. This is where we are here with her.
This is concerning.
I know.
It's not concerning. It's why I'm a sports broadcaster. So.
It's what I thought you were going to say. It's when you're a mom, you lose months, period.
Well, you do. You do. No one behind the glass.
Hannah, I think I have a solution for your problem.
Yes, oh.
And here's the beautiful thing. As we've recorded.
Counting to 11 because it's one more than 10. Thank you, Nigel Tufnell, lead guitar.
Could be. Because we're recording this on Monday, yes, December 2nd.
Okay. We should move the podcast to Tuesday.
No. Now we are in the portion of the year where every single email and every single request can be answered like this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hold off till the beginning of the year.
Ooh.
Let's hold off till after the holidays.
Let's hold off.
Let's circle
back.
Circle back after the new year.
That's good corporate speak right there. Let's circle back to that idea.
Yeah, if you can answer every single problem
with that,
we'll circle back after the new year.
We'll take a pause on this.
And so now you have 29 days to get caught up
for Christmas.
And do whatever you need. And then after the new year, you can start back to work. Everything pauses from now for like the next 30 some odd days. Everything's on pause.
You know, Jeremy, that time she could learn how to count.
You forget I'm a business owner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
when
helpful.
You own your own business,
9, 10, 12. Oh,
disappears.
11. 9, 10, 12.
I wish I could answer all my emails like that.
Just
the rest
push
of the year.
Everything circle off. Back. Just push everything off. Nothing gets done between now and the new year. Nothing.
Oh.
Except for championships.
Well, that too, yes. Next week is All-Stars. Then we have the championships. And the following week is All-Stars to put a wrap on it. By the way, how was Thanksgiving?
It was good. My mom always hosts.
That means that Hannah doesn't have to cook.
Yes. Well, we
don't take
we
that microphone
dishes.
Away, Marky
we
Mark.
We do dishes. I mean, like, we make dishes. My husband smoked the turkey this year.
Ooh.
Divine.
Okay.
Divine. We have done a bit. We did baked, and then we did fried, and they smoked it this year on his Traeger, and whoo, it was the best one he's done.
Okay, so other side of the glass, how was Thanksgiving? See, don't take the microphone.
I mean, that, John, you put me on blast there. Dang.
Well, because I saw the microphone go away, and it's like, you ain't done talking.
I understand now. Dang. You know what? My Thanksgiving was pretty good. We went for Asian food, actually, this
Ooh.
Time. Yeah, the person that was supposed to host, she ended up getting sick. So we ended up doing
things. That's inexcusable.
I know. It was such a crime on her. But, like, you know what? She did make up for it. We don't have to throw her in jail or anything. We had a Thanksgiving on Sunday.
Okay.
Everything turned out great. Like, trust me, she bailed herself out. It's all good.
Okay, just checking. And Jeremy, Thanksgiving on your end?
Thanksgiving was fantastic. Went to see my family in Chattanooga. No,
okay.
Very little drama.
That's always a plus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then had a Friendsgiving on Saturday, and that was just absolutely fantastic.
Excellent.
And today is the first day I haven't felt bloated in 5.5 days.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That makes one of us in this room.
Exactly. So follow-up question. Where are you on your shopping now that we have passed Black Friday and Cyber Monday? Where are you on your shopping?
I'm close. We shop for the girls in the
12 months. Actually,
the July.
They shop 11 months out of the year for the girls.
The July Amazon Prime Day is sneaky good.
Okay.
So we normally get the girls done in July.
Okay.
And then, you know, everybody else.
Okay.
All of my wonderful in-laws. And I do love my in-laws. But it's a lot of gifts. But we're close. I've got some photos to print, some frames to buy, and things like that.
Okay, other side of the glass. How is the shopping coming? Where are you on your list of completions?
You know what? I just started getting the gift for my sister and brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. They already got them, but my parents are terrible to pick for, especially my dad. We've mm-hmm. just ended up giving him gift cards
there
every year.
You
support that, John?
Look this way, and this is what we have done with. Older folks as a part of our gift giving,
mm-hmm.
Father, grandfather, that kind of a thing, that age difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look.
I just do pictures.
I don't know. You're a businesswoman who does pictures, so that makes a lot of sense.
But they also just want
people,
pictures.
And people dig that. But no, if you're in a position where you have no earthly idea, and this actually has turned into a universal thing, where if you have a teenager and you don't know what a teenager wants, it's like, here's a gift card so you can get, this way they get to spend it on what they want.
Yeah.
As opposed to getting them something that they don't like and then returning it behind your back. And, no, I don't have the receipt. Well, you need the receipt. And you have to kind of go around and figure, who got this for me? Okay. And then talk to the other person attached to that person who got it for you. I need the receipt. I don't like this. No, gift cards. That seems to be the way to go.
Yeah. I disagree, but okay.
It just feels less thoughtful is the issue.
But I would say that you're putting more thought into it because you're deferring to that individual and you're going, okay, here, I trust you that you know what you want, and instead of me going down the wrong road to get you something.
Yeah.
And then you don't get it returned. You don't have to worry about the returning. And then you sit there and go, man, I screwed up. I got them the bad gift. And then they returned it and they didn't like it.
I ruined Christmas.
Yeah. I've ruined Christmas.
I think it's the thought that counts, John. So how was your Thanksgiving? We didn't ask.
Driving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're on the road.
I'm on the road.
Did your car get fixed?
Yeah. $900 worth. Thank you. Ooh. 2 days worth of getting fixed.
Speaking of shopping, did we cover it all? Did everyone get their shopping done? I need to hit the Cyber Monday sales.
I'm not done.
Oh,
I'm not done. And that $900 that got spent on the card really didn't help either.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had to replace the
oil. What'd you get in Patty?
I'm not saying that on the show.
She doesn't listen.
Yeah, she does.
She listens to every podcast?
She wants to listen to all of the dirt that everybody...
What are we doing?
She wants to listen to everything.
What are we doing right now?
What do you mean, what are we doing?
We're talking about Christmas.
Can we wrap it up, please?
John, wrap it up.
Fine. Carrollton and Buford, 7:30 football Friday.
John doesn't
Georgia.
Listen. I'm getting him golf clubs. He doesn't listen, though.
I need a new driver. Thank you, by the way. Football Fridays in Georgia. Carrollton, Buford, 7:30 kickoff a little after that. GPB, GPB.org, GPB Sports app, YouTube, Twitch, live everywhere, all over the place. Download the app if you don't have it yet. It's going to be a great game. Everybody's got semifinals. Hannah and I are going to be indoors, halftime and postgame show, talking to coaches around the state, getting you ready for the Mercedes-Benz in a week and a half after that. And we'll just go from there. Next week, this time, All-Stars, we're going to take you to the championships and get you ready for it all. We're out. Bye.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.